Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Insane Things Podcast, where we count down things we've never seen before in America. If you're new, it's incredible. I can do this every week. Count down the most insane things of the week that we've never seen before, but it shows you the times we live in. Insane thing number 5. And folks, you should know this. I actually said to my husband over the weekend, I was cutting the audio from the Rogan Zuckerberg podcast, that of all of the years that I've done this, that was the single most insane audio I've ever heard. It's literally a watershed moment in American history. History happens so fast and comes so quick at you, it's easy not to see it at the time. It's easy to forget that back in 2020, the media, the mainstream media, had a total lock and control, not just on their content, but also on the content on social media through a vast censorship network funded mainly out of the State Department by the U.S. government. Half of that censorship network, about 10,000 censors, many of them working out of the government, but far more working out of universities through federal grants. They were half funded roughly by the federal government, the other half funded by Mark Zuckerberg. And for years, the mainstream media told us that it was a conspiracy theory, a right-wing conspiracy theory, the idea that right-wingers were censored secretly on social media. So silly. That wasn't going on. The New York Times wrote it. The Washington Post debunked it. So did the LA Times, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS. Then, folks, we would find out from the Twitter files that not only had we been censored, but we'd been censored by the FBI. Then the most shocking piece of all over the weekend from Mark Zuckerberg. The audio I told my husband about, the most insane I've ever cut in my entire career.
These people from the Biden administration would call up our team and like scream at them and curse. And it's like these.
Did you record any of those phone calls?
I don't think we, but I think.
I want to listen.
I mean, there are emails. And basically it just got to this point where we were like, no, we're not going to take down things that are true. That's ridiculous.
But it's what happened next. Zuckerberg says that's truly insane.
We just said, no, we're not going to take down humor and satire. We're not going to take down things that are true. And then at some point, Biden, when he gave some statement at some point, I don't know if it was a press conference or to some journalists, where he basically was like, these guys are killing people. And I don't know, then like all these different agencies and branches of government basically just like started investigating and coming after our company. It was brutal.
And there you have it. That is an authoritarian regime, one we didn't even fully realize we lived in. Normally, throughout all the rest of human history, you can't get out of one of those without violence, bloodshed, and death. The last time that we gained free speech rights for ourselves in the way that we have since Elon Musk bought X and Donald Trump won the election, that was 1776. 70,000 people died, including the roughly 8,800 Brits we had to kill. That was worth it and all, but still. What you just heard there was a guy who realizes, who can see from the inside, a place you and I will never be, how dead that regime is, and is finally unafraid to come forward. How do we escape this tyranny? Never forget this. Through the free speech that Elon Musk gifted us, by telling them, the very same censors who successfully censored Zuckerberg, to pound sand. Well, that was phase one anyway. Phase two is even more astounding. Our side doesn't understand it. And if we don't get it, if we don't grasp it, if we don't understand why we won, we will lose again. I can prove it to you with just a couple of figures. Washington Post staff, you know, the Washington Post is owned by Jeff Bezos, demanded a meeting with him this week. They're concerned, they say, because the Washington Post just lost $100 million. They're even more concerned, that they say, about what's happening to it. It had direct web traffic to the Washington Post site of 114 million in November of 2020. In November of 2024, it had 54 million. That's all month in November direct traffic. Now, here's why you're free, or much freer than you were before November 6th. Go take a look at this one clip. It's in my Twitter feed. It's Joe Rogan interviewing Mel Gibson. It's just a clip of the interview. It's not the original. And it's on X. It has 60 million views. One clip, one X post of a Rogan interview, not the actual interview itself. 60 million views. Now go to Elon Musk's X feed. Scroll down, because it usually takes his post a little while to gather steam, few days. Now go look, 90 million, 60 million, 50 million. Go to DC Drano, go to Cat Turd. Go to any of those. You'll regularly see posts that run 1 million, 2 million. Heck, I've had Twitter posts in the last month that have done 500,000 and 1 million. And I have a mere following of 82,000. What has happened? And Elon Musk is right. He's democratized the news. And with just 54 million direct hits on its website, the Washington Post, formerly the bastion of CIA propaganda, has become something of a bit player on the information scene. That's why they want to meet with Daddy, with Jeff Bezos, to see what he can do to help them, to press their cause. But it's a lost cause. Just like Cat Turd, Elon Musk, libs of TikTok, that's a popular account, the Washington Post could put what it produces out there. And if it was worthy, it would get the same hits and clicks too. It's not. And that's the power we have now. That is why Trump won. It's why he's resurgent. Any other politician would have been finished without this power. And if Zuckerberg goes through with ending the censorship, he hasn't done it yet, then that power will only increase. But why doesn't it work the same way for the Washington Post? Because our side prints true things. Things that can withstand community notes. And our arguments are inherently based in reality. They know they can't compete. And that's why they're turning to Jeff Bezos. The only way they can get supremacy again is through censorship of us. There is no other way. Which leads us to insane thing number four. Well, we essentially have woken up and realized we were living in, we were on the edge of tyranny, was an oligarchy, a criminal oligarchy, which is what the Democrat Party, the FBI, our intelligence agencies, and the federal government itself had essentially become. Which is why it's the fourth most insane thing this week that Joe Biden had the absolute unmitigated gall to give a speech warning that we are in danger of being ruled by an oligarchy, when in fact he was merely describing what the Democrats had done.
Today, an oligarchy is taking shape in America of extreme wealth, power, and influence that literally threatens our entire democracy, our basic rights and freedoms, and a fair shot for everyone to get ahead.
For a doddering old fool, he couldn't have described the regime he ran any better. From CNN to MSNBC, they all ran this clip praising the genius of Joe Biden and warning their sheeple about the freedoms they're about to lose, about the horror of living under an oligarchy.
Maybe this is going to be a warning. I did not expect it to be this stark. As you said, he said tonight there is an oligarchy taking shape in America. Dangerous concentration of power in the hands of a very few ultra wealthy people, a tech industrial complex that poses real dangers. He talked about a tide of misinformation and disinformation enabling the abuse of power. Not just saying misinformation and disinformation are bad on their own, but why are they there? They are there to enable the abuse of power. He talked about the free press crumbling, which put a shiver down my spine. And then talked about how truth is being sacrificed for lies for the purposes of power and profit.
Oh my gosh, honey. She might as well have finished that up with freedom is slavery and war is peace. She might as well finish that up by reading the sign over the Auschwitz concentration camp. Quote, work makes one free, unquote. That freedom is slavery quote, by the way, comes from 1984, which the Democrats have used as an operational manual these last 4 years. Hilariously, as Joe Biden warned of said oligarchy, literally within that same 24-hour period, the SEC announced it was opening a new front in its criminal probe of Elon Musk. Headline, SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, sues Elon Musk over Twitter-related securities violations. Folks, since the Biden administration began, they've been trying to get him criminally via the SEC. So far, his lawyers have outsmarted them. Folks, this is a president and a party that gave Hillary Clinton the Medal of Freedom just months after she suggested that right-wingers should be jailed as part of censorship. Incredibly, a week that began with Mark Zuckerberg all but apologizing to the public, to half the country for censoring them, and saying Biden made me with his federal investigations, as that news broke on Monday. By Friday, Biden's administration is doing the same thing to Elon Musk that Zuckerberg suffered from. It's incredible. All in 1 week, you could see it. It's Exhibit A type stuff. All this while Biden finished the oligarchy section of his speech, which, by the way, think about this. He gave it from the Oval Office, okay? Hunter Biden is right there off screen when Joe Biden, after insinuating that a terrifying oligarchy is taking power in America, Biden says, again, with Hunter just feet away in his final address to the nation, says this.
This made the wealthy play by the rules everybody else had to. In the last 4 years, that is exactly what we've done. People should be able to make as much as they can, but play by the same rules. Pay their fair share of taxes.
Seriously, is he mocking us? I think he's mocking us, because that's exactly what he pardoned Hunter Biden for doing on more than $30 million that wasn't just Hunter's. Remember the two IRS whistleblowers that came forward to former CBS and Fox News reporter Catherine Herridge? I put them in previous podcasts, who said the Biden family got $30 million direct transfer from the Chinese. Biden was the big guy. Joe Biden got 10% of it. And that they were silenced by the DOJ and the FBI. And they conducted a, get this, tax evasion, money laundering, and tax fraud investigation into not Hunter, but the Biden family. It was the final last mockery of the American people by this man who, folks, I'm still not sure he actually was elected president. And never mind, folks, that just mere hours earlier at Pam Bondi's attorney general confirmation hearing, the Democrats had the unmitigated gall to lecture her about using the Department of Justice to go after one's political enemies, which they assured their sheeple, all of this is for the cameras, that they were terrified that Trump was going to do. And folks, on a serious note, the Democrats seem legitimately terrified that Bondi will investigate the crimes of the Biden administration. In fact, they overtly tried to extract promises from her that she would not prosecute any of Trump's so-called political enemies. Never mind the very obvious and open crimes many of them have committed.
It would not be appropriate for a prosecutor to start with a name and look for a crime. It's a prosecutor's job to start with a crime and look for a name, correct?
Senator, I think that is the whole problem with the weaponization that we have seen the last 4 years and what's been happening to Donald Trump. They targeted Donald Trump. They went after him. I will not target people simply because of their political affiliation. Justice will be administered even-handedly throughout this country.
Insane thing number two. We're getting the truth from our government in a way we haven't been able to for over 30 years about the things our government knows are in our food and in our water that poison us, that kill us, that cause neurological damage. What is causing these historic revelations that the government knew all along? That they were allowing poisons into, you know, our food, into our lives, into our bodies? RFK's impending confirmation. Yep, as soon as it became clear that they weren't going to defeat this guy, the federal government, specifically the FDA, began doing unbelievable stuff. Here's a few of just my favorites from recent weeks. By the way, they've denied all of this in the past. The FDA admitting, you know what? There is DNA in that shot. In fact, unhealthy levels of DNA in the mRNA vaccine, levels that could cause cancer and genomic damage. In fact, the FDA actually funded a test of the DNA in the shot by high school students. Keep in mind, the FDA and CDC had people censored for saying that very thing. The next shoe to fall, one of RFK's favorites, fluoride.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's absolutely toxic. And the FDA finally admitted, yeah, it's a known carcinogen. Oh, yeah. And if it's in your water or you intake too much of it, guess what? It lowers children's IQs by a measurable amount. That's not the last you've heard of that. In fact, this week, we had a historic first using that admission by the federal government. No less than six lawsuits were launched against toothpaste makers for the level of fluoride in their toothpaste, which is very toxic and damaging to children. So, folks, we're going to end up in a world where 20 years from now, we look back in awe that we ever flooded our bodies with the amount of fluoride that we do. We'll think of it like we do lead in paint today. So what's causing all these admissions? Well, RFK has been really clear. If I get confirmed, I'm wiping out entire parts of Health and Human Services, entire parts of the Food and Drug Administration. They're profoundly corrupt, and they've allowed Americans to be poisoned in a way Europeans haven't tolerated. So the begging and the pleading has begun. Let me give you an example. It's no coincidence that after the article last week that it looked like Kennedy would get enough Democrat votes that even if he lost a few Republican ones, he could be confirmed. That was last week, right? So it's no coincidence. One of the top three stories this week was the FDA admitting after 34 years that red dye number 3 is toxic. It's a hormone inhibitor, which means it's absolutely horrible for boys' development. It does genomic damage, it does neurological damage, and it causes ADHD. Now, they've known, oh, and cancer too. They've known this for 34 years, which is why they banned it in cosmetics you put on your skin. But the powerful lobbyists in the food and drug industry got them to keep it in our, you know, our food and our medicine. They poisoned an entire generation with it. So what's going on with this? Well, the FDA bureaucrats, in a bid to keep their jobs, have finally stopped breaking the law. That's right. Allowing this stuff in our food is breaking the law because federal law is very clear. Congress mandates that if something is known to be cancer-causing or carcinogenic, it must be banned by the FDA from our food. They've simply been ignoring it. And then they bop on over to big ag, big food, big pharma once they do their stint at the FDA, letting these companies get away with what is essentially murder to save pennies on the dollar. So RFK is about to be sworn in and it's changing everything. So listen to what they did this week. Everybody talking about red dye 3. And I was surprised because it kept trending in the top 10 stories again and again and again. I think it's because Americans were realizing, oh my gosh, everything I've ever drinking or eaten that's red, from Skittles to Fruity Pebbles to Starburst to gosh, I mean, it's, folks, it's literally everything. Gatorade, it's been loaded with poison. Well, here's the thing. The reason the FDA said, okay, all right, fine, we'll ban red dye number 3 is to protect red dye 40 and yellow 5. They're just as toxic. This is a bargaining chip by bureaucrats that don't want to lose their jobs. And the companies, the corrupt companies that will later employ them, that want to keep them in place so that they can go on saving pennies on the dollar by poisoning America with stuff that you're not allowed to put in food in Europe. If you want the full skinny on it, listen to my podcast from Thursday. It really is a must listen. There's about 1,000 of these chemicals. Some of them are dyes, but a lot of them are pesticides too, that are forever chemicals that have been poisoning a generation of children. This is why asthma was not widespread before. This is why nobody had ever heard of ADHD before the last 35 years. All of these things come from this epidemic of poison. And if you notice what the FDA did, they said, oh, yeah, hey, we've banned red number 3. Well, when did you ban it? Oh, it'll start in 2 years. You mean after the midterms? Yeah, after the midterms. In other words, this is their bid, their hopeful bid that they will be able to continue. And by the way, these food dyes, they don't do anything to the taste of our foods. What they do is take very low quality food that if you actually saw it, its actual form, you wouldn't eat it, and they dye it into looking better. It doesn't happen in Europe, and it shouldn't happen here. So I am looking forward to Kennedy being confirmed. He's the only Democrat I've ever wanted in charge of anything because he's the only one in either party that I trust to rampage through the FDA. I can't. But folks, the final insane thing on red dye finally being banned this week is, again, they've known for 34 years it causes cancer and they didn't care. Now ask yourself, what else have they allowed in my environment while breaking the law to do it? Finally, insane thing number one is simply this. Democrats have learned that they can burn down their cities, get away with it if they do it through bureaucratic sabotage. Folks, I did a podcast earlier this week you should listen to if you didn't get a chance to listen to it. It's about the shocking similarities between Lahaina, in other words, the Maui fires, and the LA fires. It's almost eerie, right down to the fire hydrants running out of water halfway through fighting the fire, which allows it to triumph, the denial of service, the firefighters, the fire trucks, not knowingly not being deployed, to the upstream water policy designed to combat farming and end farming's part of the left's war on food that ultimately causes, dries out liberal areas, causes to burn them to burn all the way to the brush that should be removed, but is deliberately left there. Again, folks, notice something about the Maui fire and the LA fire. We're going to see more of them. This is seaside property, and it's some of the most valuable property in the world. What does the left hate the most? The rich. Well, not counting the ones that donate to them. They hate the rich. Where do these fires keep happening? Yeah, you got it. The policies that led to this fire, so outrageous that the liberal Los Angeles Times actually committed a real work of journalism this week. It's a story you've got to read. If you have any doubts whatsoever that bureaucratic sabotage was deliberately employed here to fan the flames of this fire, keep it going and maybe even make it happen. Again, if you listen to my podcast earlier this week, you get the rest of it. But this is truly shocking. Now, picture this. It's 2 days before the fires, and public officials in Los Angeles know they're in trouble, so much so that they're doing press conferences to warn about the coming Santa Ana winds. When you combine Santa Ana winds with how dry it was and the fact that it's the beginning of forest fire season, they know they're in trouble. What does LA Fire Department typically do in these situations? Well, they pre-position fire trucks around the city, but once the winds pick up, they also double deploy firefighters. In other words, firefighters expect that when they come off their shift, they'll be redeployed. This doubles the number of firefighters. And they could have doubled the number of firefighters easily, adding roughly 1,000 more available firefighters. But they didn't. Even as the winds picked up and spun into 60 to 90 miles an hour, even as the utility system began to record strike after strike after strike, so that's branches hitting the lines and throwing off sparks, what did they do? They sent them home. Even worse, they staffed just 5 out of 40 fire engines that were available to aid in battling the wildfires. And again, that's after fire officials went out and warned people to be prepared for the coming winds and potential fires. But here's how you know something pernicious really happened here. And by the way, if you want to read this article yourself, it's LA fire officials could have put engines in the Palisades before the fire broke out. They didn't. And they're quoting LA Fire Department Battalion Chief Rick Crawford. It's a known staffing tactic, a deployment model. They did not do it. But the worst part is that the head of the fire department and fire officials lied to the LA Times, claiming that the reason they didn't put those reserve engines out was because they were inoperable or otherwise unavailable. Well, when confronted with internal documents showing, no, you had them, you could have deployed them, quote, here's the paragraph. Crowley, who's the fire chief, initially told the Times that most of the ready reserve engines were inoperable or otherwise unavailable. However, a spokesperson later said just 4 of the 9 were not immediately available. A third official then produced a document that said 7 were put into service, most of them after the fire ignited. So let's go back to the day that the fire started in the Palisades. The 911 call comes in at 10:15. By 10:30, they call back. The neighbor calls back, says, listen, nobody's here. They can't get through to 911. The first firefighters don't arrive till 45 minutes later, but they can't do much because there's no truck. The first trucks pull in an hour and 15 minutes later. Folks, 45 minutes after that, they were issuing evacuation orders. And here's the weird part. The LA Times flat out says these officials lied to them. Here's what they write. Over the past several days, Crowley and other officials have been giving the Times varying accounts of how many engines were available to supplement regular deployments. An internal planning document obtained by the Times from a source showed that the department said no to deploying an additional 9 engines, known as ready reserve engines. The Times goes on to explain that they didn't change their story until confronted with whistleblower documents showing otherwise, i.e. that they lied. What are they hiding, folks? Well, again, bottom line, the left loves fire. The left loves to burn things down. We know this. $2 billion in damage done during the Summer of Love. A lot of it with fire. And the left has now learned that at least in blue areas, they can burn down their cities. Expect a lot more of this.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.